Hello, this is Professor David Lewis, Assistant Professor of Exegetical Theology here at Concordia Seminary, and I will be presenting the Gospel reading for New Year's Day, January 1st, and this Gospel reading consists of one verse. It's Luke 2:21, and this verse highlights the two themes that are often dealt with on this day. One is the circumcision of Jesus. The circumcision of Jesus took place 8 days after he was born. And so if we commemorate and celebrate Jesus' birth on December 25th, then 8 days later, January 1st, would be the day he's circumcised. But also that's the day that he receives his name. He's named on the day he's circumcised. That's when, in Matthew's account, Joseph, in Luke's account, Mary give him the name Jesus, which in both Matthew and Luke is a name supplied to the parents by an angel. And by parents, yeah, Joseph is not his natural father, but nevertheless functions as his earthly father, the one who names him and takes care of him. So this is the circumcision of Jesus and the naming of Jesus. Now, I imagine this verse is used because they want you to focus on the circumcision, which is kind of problematic because the grammar of this verse, the big deal is not so much that he's circumcised, but that he's named Jesus. But let's look at the verse, one verse. And we begin with chi, and then hota is a subordinate conjunction that means when. And it governs all that follows. And when epleistheson hemera hakto. And so, and when. And then we have a aorist indicative passive of the verb pimplema, which means to fulfill, to end, to complete. And its subject is hamerai, days. And so when 8 days were fulfilled, and often English translations will just skip the verb and just say something like when after 8 days or something like that. But notice this isn't an after, hota is a when. But when the 8 days were fulfilled, and then we get this to peritamein auton, and literally this is an articular infinitive with its genitive with a definite article to. So this is a genitive infinitive, and auton is its subject. Auton is actually its direct object. 8 days literally. Literally, the act of circumcising him. And how do you render this into English? And when sort of 8 days were fulfilled, some people make it sort of a purpose for him to be circumcised. I've seen that in some English translations. looking at some of the secondary grammars, Wallace notes that this genitive, articular infinitive, seems to be denoting action that is subsequent to the controlling verb. And so the controlling verb here is fulfilled, were fulfilled. So when the 8 days were fulfilled, well, then subsequent to after the 8 days were fulfilled, then the action of them circumcising him takes place. And Blasterbrunner Funk, they kind of argue that here there's kind of a loose connection between the substantive and the infinitive, and that when this happens, this tends towards consecutive sequence. And so however you want to translate it, the act of circumcising him, Jesus, takes place after the 8 days. Something like, and when the 8 days were fulfilled in order to circumcise him, purpose, I guess you could just say, and when the 8 days were fulfilled, you might even just make an indicative. You could just say to circumcise him, they circumcised him. English translations are kind of all over the place with this. But notice this is not the main thought. This is a hata clause, a when clause, a temporal clause. It modifies the main sentence that follows. And so you see, kai ekleithe ta anima autu Iesus. Now, the chi there is actually unnecessary, at least in an English translation. This is a semitism, a reflection of Hebrew. And the chi is introducing the apodosis, the main thought. And this would be the apodosis. You have the subordinate thought with the hata when the 8 days were fulfilled to circumcise him. Then, and you so you can almost translate the chi here almost as a then. When, then, or you can leave the chi out. When the 8 days were fulfilled, his name was called, his name was called Jesus. His name was called Jesus. And and so this is the aorist indicative passive of kaleo. And so his name was called Jesus. And why is that significant? Well, ta klathen. So notice here we have an aorist participle, aorist participle passive, neuter singular, neuter singular nominative. So what was called by the angel, and so this would be sort of what was called, in other words, what the name that was called by the angel, pra tu sulamthani. Here is pra plus another articular infinitive, but here it's pra, so we know this the time sequence before he was conceived. So atan is the subject of the passive infinitive, before he was conceived in the womb. And so here, the name was given to Mary before Jesus was conceived in her womb. And so the main thought is here, his name was called Jesus, and that would be sort of what was called, what was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And so the angel, this, you just referenced back to chapter 1, this with the Annunciation, when Gabriel appears to Mary. So verse 31, so after he says, "Stop being afraid, Mary, for you have found grace, you found favor before God, with God, and behold, you will conceive in the womb, and you will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus." And then going on, "This guy will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and Yahweh Elohim will give him the throne of his father David, and he will rule over the house of Israel into the ages. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." There will be no end of his kingdom. And so Mary is obedient, and verse 21 simply tells us that Mary does what the angel said, and so Jesus' name is called, this child's name is called Jesus, which is the name the angel gave before Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb. Now, interesting here, notice that the circumcision of Jesus is in the temporal clause, the subordinate clause. The main thing is that Jesus is given the name. Okay, so you preach this. The tendency traditionally will be to stress how the circumcision of Jesus shows that he was born under the law to redeem those under the law. But that is not really the point in Luke. Luke mentions the circumcision in passing because the main thing for Luke is that the kid gets the name Jesus. So is he circumcised? Yeah. But, it doesn't really say that he's circumcised. It just says that, it's indicated that he is. But the main thing is that he's called Jesus. And interesting, there's a sense in which Matthew 1 would be a better gospel text because Matthew 1:21 actually gives us the reason for why his name is called Jesus. He is called Jesus, according to Matthew 21, because he himself will save his people from their sins. And so Jesus indicates that he is the Savior of Israel from their sins. And the importance of Jesus in Luke, well, the name itself is not important. I mean, there's no meaning attached to the name other than that this is the name God has chosen for his son. And the angel gives this name to Mary, and she gives it to Jesus. And so if you wanted to make any more of that, it is clear that this Jesus is to be the Savior of Israel. But look through the Magnificat and the Annunciation passages, the Benedictus, the Gloria in Excelsis, the Nunc Dimittis. Nunc Dimittis is in the next pericope, Jesus is identified as Savior of the people of Israel. But here salvation is not necessarily just for their sins, but for their oppression, for everything Israel has been suffering. There's a clear promise in the Annunciation of Jesus' birth that he will sit on the throne of his father David forever. And I don't think we're talking spiritual kingdom here. I think this is, you know, not the throne of our hearts, but what's indicated here is that Israel itself is going to be redeemed and restored. And so when the apostles ask at the beginning of Acts, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? I'm one who doesn't think they're asking a bad question, especially because at the end of Luke, the disciples appear to be completely reconciled to Jesus. I think they're asking a good question. But the point is that the full restoration of all things doesn't take place. In the meantime, repentance for the forgiveness of sins is to be preached on the basis of Jesus' name to the nations. And the disciples are to be his witnesses in Judea and Samaria. I mean, in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so we're actually still looking for the fulfillment of all of Jesus' work when he restores all things, both Israel and creation. And now by Israel here, I mean the people of God, who, if you look at the Galatians passage for today, those people are all those now who've been baptized into Christ. But we're still waiting that restoration of all things, so don't be so quick to spiritualize this. But with the passage here, I would actually preach on the Galatians passage if you want to bring out the implications of Jesus being circumcised. The point here is simply that the Savior's name is Jesus and Mary is obedient. I guess if I were you, I would matrix Luke 2:21 with Matthew 1:21 to bring out the implications of what Jesus' name means. For in Matthew, it's clear that Jesus, the name Jesus, indicates that he is the Savior. And then once that you do that, you can speak about the various aspects of salvation that have been promised in Luke 1 and 2 up to this point. That this is the guy who's going to restore Israel. He's the guy who's going to bring about the great reversal, where the high and the haughty and the lifted up are going to be brought down, and the poor and the low are going to be brought up. This is the guy through whom God is going to keep fulfill his promises to Israel. And then looking ahead to the Nunc Dimittis, this guy is also going to be the revelation of God to the Gentiles as well in 2:32. And who is the guy? His name is Jesus. He got circumcised, but the point in Luke 21 is when he got circumcised, Mary gave him the name that she was told to give him. And I guess if you want to emphasize the circumcision aspect, just let you know, I don't think Luke is making a big deal here about Jesus being born under the Torah. Probably more key would be the pericope that follows in Luke 22 and on, where you actually have katatan naman moseos, where according to the law of Moses, they go to Jerusalem to present Jesus to Yahweh and for Mary to be purified from childbirth. There the theme of being born under the Torah maybe comes out, but here the main theme, the main sentence is that Jesus got this name, Jesus, because that's what the angel told Mary to do, and she did what he said. Yeah, don't let this devolve into a sermon about obeying God either. I mean, keep it focused on Jesus. And I suppose if I were you, I'd either matrix this with Matthew 1:21 to get the full impact of what the name means, or preach the Galatians 3 passage instead, and then you can, to your heart's content, focus upon Jesus coming under the law to redeem those under the law. Thank you.